that you're gonna regret.
But if you wanna stay in shape,
well, you better hit that.
Chimwits, Chimwits.
That's right, man.
Welcome to the Chimwits Podcast. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And we are the Chimwits.
So do you ever notice how sometimes when you're thinking of doing something or you do something, someone else is also, especially someone who's on your wavelength, is also thinking or kind of doing the same? Do you know what I'm saying?
No.
Is that a little too vague?
Yeah, it's very vague.
Well, this is a prime example of it. Ryan said to me today, hey, I want to do a very important podcast. It's on health.
I said very important, but I guess it is.
It is. It's okay. Tremendously important.
What is important?
It's going to be on health versus fitness versus performance. And it's so funny because I was going to tell him something sort of interesting that I had been going through. A lot of times recently, every time before I work out, I'd been getting tired. I'd have to have lots of energy drinks. You know, my sleep has been off. So it occurred to me, maybe I'm not that healthy. And my girlfriend said to me, you know, you're strong and you're fit and you're athletic, so you confuse that for being healthy. But there's lots of room for improvement in the health category. Mm-hmm. And it really occurred to me, that's pretty spot on. So I think I'm going to be making some changes pretty soon.
Yeah.
For my overall health.
Yeah, I guess that segues us right into
it's
our
crazy.
Topic
we both,
for today.
That's what I meant, that we were both sort of thinking that same thing.
Yeah, so basically the idea for today, pretty simple, but you know, whenever I think we're going to have a quick, you know, 15, 20 minute episode, it turns into an hour.
Sure.
But basically the idea, most people when they're exercising, they just kind of exercise. So, not most people, a lot of people, you're just doing it. And so sometimes it's important to consider, you know, whether you're doing it for your health, for fitness, or for performance. So we talked before
with the goal
a few episodes back about goals.
And
so
for
this
energy
kind of
was the
this
other
is
one.
Similar, yeah. But it's a little bit different. A little bit different from that, but it's similar. So if you haven't heard, we did one, I think it was called Four Goals or something like that, or just Goals was the title of the podcast. But we talked about kind of the generally most goals can be fit into different, like four different categories. So this is a little slightly different, just in that a little bit of a difference between training for, again, for health, for fitness, and for performance. And kind of each one, kind of when you're working out, you want to know which one you're working on. And that may change from time to time. You may have a period where you're focused on performance, and then that shifts over to health, and then it shifts to fitness, and then it shifts back to performance.
And of course, there could be a crossover.
It's just, yeah.
You can train for more than one.
It's just
one
knowing
at the same
that.
Time.
And sometimes people are training for one thing when it's not necessary, and then it either leads them to either not get results or they burn themselves out. So it's kind of just being on the same wavelength with your own fitness, where you are fitness-wise and what you can commit to, and knowing that can help you kind of stay consistent. So I think that was what we're going to talk about today. So I guess before I give what my thoughts are, what would you say is the difference between, let's say, health and fitness? I think health and fitness are probably the ones that have the more overlap. No, not really. Like, you get an overlap from health to fitness, you get an overlap from fitness to performance. But what do you think is health and fitness? Like, where's the difference between those two?
All right. So fitness is purely your physical functions, right? How you're able to perform certain athletic tasks and certain life tasks. Like, do you get winded walking up a hill? Can you, you know, run? Are you strong? Can you, and there is, you know, there's function to it, right? Are you able to, if you were moving, would you be able to lift a lot of furniture before having to rest? Do you start panting when you go upstairs, right? So to me,
so you think that's more fitness?
That has something to do with health, but that to me is being fit. And it also, I guess, some performance of your limbs, stuff like that. You know, are you flexible? Stuff along those lines.
Okay.
Now, health, I think of really, well, obviously two types of health. There's your psychological health and your physical health. And as your physical health, what I think is more internal, the functions of your organs, mm-hmm. right? You know, how healthy your organs are, how sort of your schedule, if are you regulated with sleep, right? Do you have energy? Do you get tired throughout the day? Although I know that's another goal, but to me that's really health related, having yeah. energy. Do you get sick often? Do you get tired? Do you find yourself getting depressed? I know that starts to border into psychological health, but physical health can certainly affect that tremendously. So then obviously with your psychological health, you know, are you depressed? Are you sluggish? Do you have motivation? All those things. That's what I think of health, the combination between, you know, physical health, internal health, and psychological health, as opposed to fitness, which is, you know, more on the can you perform physical tasks, you know, can your muscles do certain things, you know, can you run, can you lift, like stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay. So you're pretty solid, like with what you're getting to. So the way I look at it, I like to look at it as health is a little more passive. And fitness is a little more active when you, okay. if you're talking about like testing for it. I think that's okay. the easiest way for me to think about it. You know, generally health is about kind of avoiding disease and avoiding injuries. So kind of you're healthy if you're absent of disease, illness, or injuries. So if you're exercising purely for health, you're looking at doing things that are going to keep your weight, you know, at a reasonable level, keeping your body fat down, you know, lowering your risk of a variety of diseases, whether it, you know, it's heart disease or diabetes or any kind of metabolic disease. So health tends to be more passive as far as testing, because we're going to be testing you, you know, or if you're being tested, you're being tested for things, you know, like I said, your heart's being tested, your, you know, blood sugar, your cholesterol, so things like that. So health is, again, a little more passive, a little bit more about just fighting the risk of disease, like fighting your risk of dying, basically.
Disease or injury. Because another thing to think about is, are your, especially maybe for older adults, are your bones brittle, yeah. right? Your joints, what about your joint health?
Yeah.
And sort of that related stuff. But I think it also, there's crossover. Like, what about your skin? How healthy is your skin? Now, I know that that's an organ mm-hmm. as well. Your eyesight,
yeah.
you know, how well are your senses functioning? So those sort of, it's almost like gray area, but wouldn't that go into health?
Yeah, those are definitely, I mean, those could, I guess. I mean, I tend to think about what are the things that are going to affect, you know, and like what, I think for me, it's more, what weighs more is what's going to affect your mortality.
Okay.
So I think, yes, those, sure.
So there's mortality, but then there's also quality of life.
Sure, absolutely. So I think that plays into it with health, but I think that the mortality part is going to probably be, will carry more weight, but you're absolutely right. I think there are other things that maybe aren't going to affect you dying anytime soon, but they will affect the quality of life. And so those can be taken into account when we're talking about health, but I think that they're, you know, at least when you're figuring out, you know, with health, they're not weighed as heavily as okay. some of the others. So I'd say that would probably be where I would go with that. So basically that's kind of where I think look at health. With fitness, as you mentioned, or as you alluded to, it's a little bit more active when you're testing for it, and it's more about what you can physically do. So, okay. you know, then you're really looking at, you know, whether it's like a push-up test or movement analysis. So you're looking at, you know, how fast you can run a mile, or how many miles you can run in X amount of time. So fitness becomes a little bit more, it's more about active. What can you physically do? How does your body, how does your body interact with the world? I think is where fitness is going to lie. So in many cases, there's overlap between fitness and health,
sure.
but there are often times where they're going to work against each other. Mm-hmm. So you can think, you know, probably one of the more common ones is athletes. A lot of athletes can be fit, but not healthy. So, mm-hmm. Let's say you're basketball players.
Start jumping into the whole performance category.
Yeah, well, we'll get to there in a minute. But let's say let's say you're a runner. You're just somebody. You get up, you run a lot. You can run. You know, you can do 10 miles in an hour or you know whatever. 10 miles in 8 minutes. But you have knee problems, and the knee problem seems to be exacerbated by the running. You might be fit. Your heart, you know, because again, when we're looking at fitness, now we're looking at the performance of your heart. And we're looking, so your cardio, we're looking at your strength, in addition to many other variables, but you may be fit, but that injury isn't healthy. Mm. Or, you know,
But you would be healthy if you're, even though you have this injury.
Yeah, I'm just fine. Right, I'm just fine.
Healthy as a person, but you
yes,
have this injury.
Yes, but again, there's an injury. So that isn't affecting your health, right? So there are times where they do conflict with each other a little bit.
I think to me the prime example of this is bodybuilding.
Yeah.
Right. You would assume the person is very fit, right? Incredibly muscular, but it's in really high strain on the heart. But right. If you have tons of muscle, if you're doing steroids, if you're putting drugs in your body, you're putting crazy wear and tear on your joints, on everything. If you look at the organ function of a lot of bodybuilders, especially if they're, you know, whatever, who knows, if they're dehydrating themselves, that's not good. Yeah. Same thing with mixed martial artists. Yeah. I can't imagine doing crazy weight cuts are good for you.
Good for the bone. Yeah. So that's
stress on the body.
Well, you could take somebody, just a hypothetical situation that is very common. You take somebody who's in the gym all the time. They lift a lot of weights, are big. They do great, you know, good cardio, good strength, fit, look good. But they're drinkers, or they smoke a lot, they don't eat well. So maybe they kind of have a little bit, the genetics help with the looks, and they work out. So you can have an unhealthy lifestyle and be unhealthy, but also appear, be fit and look fit.
And I think a lot of people
be fit and not healthy.
You could be a bodybuilder and not be healthy. You could look amazing and not be healthy.
So, or you can also maybe not look, but we've talked about that, where sometimes you may not look as fit as some people don't. Like, the idea of what is fit is sometimes, you know, it's like somebody who we think of somebody who's like on the cover of a fitness magazine as being fit. Or the ideal for fitness, but oftentimes that's not. They're, you know, they've probably cut a lot of weight to make, you know, for that photo shoot, and they're, you know, dieting a lot, and they're doing extra, you know, extra work, and so they're probably not in the best condition in the world. So usually, like, what's really, really fit is probably a little bit a little further away than that. Like, not super ripped, not super lean,
well,
not fat,
a little
but
bit of body
a, yeah.
fat healthy.
Yeah, it is. So there's a line. You know, what we think is ideal and what's ideal in society isn't quite what really is fit. So I think, but when we're talking, just even forgetting aesthetics, when we're talking about just what is fit, you can be fit and not healthy. And then, I guess the performance category. So this is where we see, like, I think with the rise of like CrossFit and a lot of similar styles of training, they veer into that performance realm, which is great if the person's ready for it. But performance means you're really trying to meet specific like objectives for sports. Generally it's for sports. And so I think what happens with CrossFit, and it is its own sport now, but a lot of times people are training like they're training for a sport, but they're not really participating in a sport. Mm. And that's fine if you have the time and if you have the energy and if you're able to get enough sleep and you're able to focus on your hydration and your nutrition. But the problem with training for performance is it for pro athletes, that's what they do for a living. Yeah. For high level athletes, for people who are really, they're dedicated to a goal, there's a commitment to that goal. If you're going to run a marathon, you have to commit to that. And it's more than just the time you're running, but it's how much sleep, again, how much sleep you're getting, how you're eating. Everything in your life has to kind of complement that activity. So when you're training for performance, it becomes a lifestyle. It's not just how you're performing in the gym or how you're performing in the ring or how you're performing, you know, in the field, but your life kind of gets molded to that, because now it's about meeting certain goals or certain milestones that you have to meet. It's not just about, you know, how much am I going to bench press this week, and maybe I'll get, you know, you have a specific goal or milestone. So the problem sometimes with having that style of training, but without the real goal or the performance goal, is that you're almost, it's too intense. And if you don't mold your life to meet it, it increases the risk of injury. So you just see people get hurt because they're training incredibly hard, but they're not doing the other things in their life, whether, again, it's the rest and the recovery work and, you know, the timing and the meals, and, you know, they're all the other aspects of their life aren't meeting the intensity of the training. Yeah. And so that sometimes becomes problematic. So you kind of have to make the choice that if I'm going to, you know, if the intensity of my training is going to be for performance, I need to make my life fit. Even if you're not, you know, if you're not playing in a sport, if you just want to do it, great. But your life has to revolve around that, unfortunately.
And it's interesting. Did you ever talk about this in a previous podcast? And it's something that people do. They love to, it's working hard at things that are easy for them to work hard at. Do you remember we talked about this a little bit?
I don't know.
So, and what you're talking about is a prime example. And I've known tons of people that were like this. Like, for instance, people that, you know, were really willing to work hard day of the recording. They'll go in the studio and they'll do it all day, or they'll work 2 days in the studio. But for the next 2 months, they weren't practicing. They weren't working on their craft, right? Because that's harder because it interferes with their lifestyle. They'd rather be partying and they'd rather do this. So they confuse, you know, working hard a little bit of the time, they, you know, thinking, well, I'm willing to do what it takes. You know, I've heard people, I'm willing to do what it takes. You know, let's go in the studio. I'm like, no. What you need to be willing to do is all the time, not just the one little bit that happens to be fun or easy for you. Yeah. And I get the same vibe. It's like, all right, so the people really enjoy the fitness, the activity part of it, right? Where they're going to, you know, CrossFit, or they're lifting and they're doing the exercises. But then the rest of their lifestyle is, you know, partying, you know, not sleeping, eating whatever they want. And so they're thinking, oh, you know, I'm working really hard. And maybe you're working hard in this one category, but you're really not working hard because you're not dedicating your life to this, as you mentioned, performance goal. And that is a big issue. I think that especially with the sort of intense exercise that people do, if your life doesn't fit the exercise, you can't just exercise and expect it to magically fix everything, you know, be the, you know, the whole thing in your life.
You brought up two different things. I think one is more of a work ethic issue, and the other is just we use this word in recording, we did earlier, a disconnect between what you should be. So kind of one is like, we see this all the time where people love like one aspect. Like I see this in sparring a lot. I remember there's a guy, I was talking about this earlier with somebody who was terrifying to spar with. He came in and he was, you know, big, strong, powerful, and he would spar, and he sparred hard, and he's tough, and he had good, but like he did not want to work hard outside of that. So he didn't want to do conditioning work. He didn't want to train hard. He didn't want to do any of the extra stuff. He didn't really want to hit pads, but he wanted to spar, and he would spar, you know, and spar hard. So he like that one aspect. So and then, as you mentioned, some people who just, they don't want to put the extra work in, but they'll come in that one day and
they don't want to put the real work in. Put the fun work in.
Exactly.
They think that they have a good work ethic because they want to do that, but it's really not.
And then I think the other part is just being not understanding, like with when it comes to the performance, is some people will put all that physical work in, but they don't put all the other aspects. They're just disconnected from how important it is to everyday life. Well, it's not comfortable. Sometimes it's out of discomfort, but other times it's just out of ignorance. Kind of like, I'm working hard. So the problem is, I think the big issue is, you see this a lot, somebody comes in and they really enjoy it and they work really hard and they have the work ethic, but they're breaking themselves down, and because they're not getting the right amount of sleep, or they're not hydrated enough, or not eating right, they break themselves down to a point where they get injured, or they get burnt out, or they get overtrained. So I think that's the problem is, if you're ignorant of it, or if you're not aware of what you're doing, that hard work is great while you're doing it, but at some point you hit a wall, and most of the times it's because you're not, or the person's not doing all the other extra things that they need to do with their life to meet the kind of output that they're putting into the exercise.
What about the idea that, especially with the performance and the fitness side of things, that people at a young age can get away with stuff, and when you start getting a little older, it's not quite as easy to do the same things.
Yeah.
So people may, especially you see a lot with really heavy weightlifting, that if you really don't have perfect form and you don't have the right diet and you're not stretching, you could get away with it when you're younger. But when you start to get older, your risk of injury and your body breaking down, really, you know, you're really taking a risk there.
Yeah. I think that's part of it. And generally, as you get older, recovery becomes more important, and all the extra things do become more important. So if for everyone's different, so some people get away with it longer than others. Some people it starts to feel the effects earlier than others. So sure. I think it varies a little bit, but yeah, the recovery becomes a really important part, and it's important throughout, but you're just able to get away with it when you're younger. So it's one of those aspects of training that because you can get away with it when you're younger, some people just don't put the time into it. And so then when they do get older, it's hard to then add that, because you're, you know, like our mindset of working out when we were young was you go to the gym, you lift weights for an hour and a half and you leave, you know, and then if that's how you work out for 10 years, having to modify that, it becomes difficult because I got to add stretching, I got to warm up, I got to add time to this. And so for some people, it's hard to make that change. And it's also hard for some people, it's just hard to accept that and say, wait, I'm older, my body's changing or breaking. I don't need this. I shouldn't need this. I'm fit. I'm, you know, it goes back to like thinking you're fit when maybe you're not, or you're fit, but you're not healthy. So that definitely plays into it.
So now I guess the big question is, what should people do? What should they look out for? How should they approach their lives?
Well, I think you have to figure out what's the goal for you. You know, what's your goal? So I think that's the first, it's the first question that you have to ask yourself is what's your need? Do you have
it's a little skewed because people might have goals, but their goals might not be in their own best interest.
I was
going
to get into that. So if you're training for performance, if you're like, I want to be as fast as I can, I want to be as explosive as I can, I want to be the best athlete I can, great. But then you have to be realistic with yourself and ask, like, do you have the time to commit to eating properly and, again, staying hydrated and getting sleep and resting? You know, the rest is just if you're training for performance, rest becomes just as important as the exercise. So, you know, the question is, do you have the time and funds and means to allow your life to revolve around that, to focus on it? And I'm not saying that you have to quit your job and be full time, but you do have to set things up in a way that it's a priority. So you know you can work a regular 9-to-5, but then what you do as far as your eating and scheduling your workouts does have to maximize that the fitness. So if that's your goal, great. But you also be aware that there's a lot that goes along with it. There's nothing wrong with just training for fitness. Now, at the same time, if you're, you know, between health and fitness, then it's the same thing. It's what kind of commitment do you have? If you have the time, you know, to put into working for fitness, for you know, again, fitness and performance are closely related. I think performance becomes just an extension of the fitness.
Sure.
But if you have a goal, you want to get stronger, or, you know, increase your cardio or look better, then great. But it does require commitment. It requires progression. So I think another thing with fitness that's important, and as why it's part of why it's active, is that there is an idea that you're going to progress. So you're going to get stronger over time. You're going to get faster over time, or you're going to increase your cardiovascular capabilities over time. So again, being able to commit to that and to commit to the consistency that's necessary to make progress is part of training for fitness. So you're going to need to work out 4 or 5 days a week, and you're going to need to focus on improving on whatever your kind of your benchmark, or not whatever your, you know, your initial results are. So if you can run a mile in 10 minutes, then you want to work on bringing that down to 9.5 or 9, you know, and so you're working on improving on whatever you're doing. And then if training for health, then
yeah, I was going to ask about that. Training for health, like, you think we think about health a lot more with diet, hydration, sleep, and that stuff. How can you train physically?
Well, I guess
for
then it means meeting like the minimum requirements for exercise. So like the kind of the minimum guidelines are 150 minutes of moderate intense activity or moderate intensity activities, you know, throughout the week, you know, so the goal generally is like work out moderate intensity most days of the week. I would say, if you want to get a little more specific, you know, at least 2 to 3 days a week of doing some kind of cardiovascular activity, 2 to 3 days a week of some kind of resistance training.
So a little bit more specifically, when you're training for health,
yeah,
what are goals that you're looking to do? So obviously, you know, maybe losing body fat.
Yeah. Well, it depends on where you're at.
Adding muscle, right?
Well, it depends on where you're at. So if you're somebody who, you know, is, let's say you're, you have a high BMI or high body fat percentage, and you're, there's a need to lower your body fat, then, but now the, now kind of like, health becomes a parallel to fit performance as well, because health, as we talked about, requires a lifestyle change.
Sure.
So in addition to exercising, your, you know, diet, hydration, rest, stress levels, those all become variables that play into your health. So you can be, you can have everything perfect, but if you're a very anxious person and under lots of stress, that's going to affect your health. So being healthy means that all aspects of your life are kind of at a equilibrium, or, you know, yeah, at a level that are balanced, right? So that part, that plays into, just like in performance, all aspects of your life have to be focused on performance. If, you know, for health, all aspects of your life. So, you know, if you're smoking, quit smoking. If you're a big drinker, you know, limit the drinking, you know, cut, you know, moderate diet. And again, if you have parts of your life, aspects that are unhealthy, then bringing that back to being healthy, you know, close to healthy. So I think health, so when you're looking at health, I think there are just a number of other variables in addition to just the exercise that you need to focus on for health. Where for fitness, it's really just about the exercise. I mean, obviously, if you're a smoker, quitting smoking is going to help improve your fitness. But when you're dealing with the fitness aspect, we're more focused on how you perform on specific, you know, active tests.
And I think one important thing to think about is, you can be healthy or think you're healthy because you don't have a high body fat percentage. And I know we've talked about this quite a bit. You don't have a high body fat percentage. Your diet is moderate. You sleep fairly well, but you're very inactive. So you're sitting all the time in your office.
Mm-hmm.
You might think you're healthy because of these things, but really it's incredible bad wear and tear on your body if you were inactive. And I think that's where just doing what you mentioned was moderate exercise, and also just activity throughout the day, doing a little extra walking, even just standing up, doing some stretches can greatly improve your health. Now, you would think that would improve your fitness level.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it really improves your fitness level. Like if during the day you get up to take a couple walks around, do a little stretching, I don't know if that's really going to improve your fitness level, but it will improve your health.
I would say generally it's more focused on health. But again, depending on how unfit somebody is, it might help their fitness.
If you're
so
very
I think it really
unfit,
depends on
then,
the
yes.
level that you're at. But I think, you know, again, kind of health, if you just want to avoid death, then that, but you don't have time to worry about how, you know, how you perform on a, you know, a mile run test, then that's going to be your goal. If you want to increase your strength and look better, then the focus might be fitness. And if you have specific goals and running, you know, at 10K or a marathon or increasing lifts, that, you know, or participating in a sport, then performance can be the goal. So, I mean, and then there's some, again, they overlap, and you can do all three at once, or you can do two of the three. You know, it really depends on what your focus is. But it does help kind of break things down a little bit. And I think you want to think about, well, what's my goal? And again, for some people, you might, you know, you may want to look better. You want to lose body fat or whatever. But work is really stressful, or work is time consuming. And, you know, for the next 5 months, you're not going to be able to do that. So it's nice to be able to shift and say, you know what, I don't have to worry about these fitness goals. I just need to get in the gym, and I just need to stay healthy. I need to focus on whatever it is in my life that will keep me healthy and maintain where I am. And then I can focus on the fitness later, or I can focus on the performance later, or an issue I have. So, you know, I've competed in Muay Thai before, and I'd like to again, but my schedule is tight. And I've had to take myself back a little bit and say, all right, my schedule is crazy. I don't get a lot of sleep. I can't, but this kind of, there's like this compulsion in me to kind of, I want to train for performance, and
sure.
if I'm not at that level, I feel bad about myself. I kind of had to take a step back.
Once you train for performance, it's sort of hard to shift
gears. Well, so
it was very weird for me because you had assigned me, and I think I'm ready to start going back into performance mode. Ryan had assigned me heavy weightlifting, and it was weird for me. It was actually easier than doing a lot of the performance stuff, although there were certainly some difficulties with it. But it was odd because for the last some odd years of my life, everything had centered around kickboxing, and when I was in the gym it was lots of intervals and jumps and sprints, weird push-ups and stuff like that. So shifting actually backward into more of the, what would you even call that though?
What?
That's they're both fit. It's just a different type.
Yeah,
of
different
fitness.
Type of fitness. I think.
Actually, no. It's more for aesthetics.
Yeah, yeah. So yes, which is kind of performance in itself.
In its own weird
but
way,
I just in general, like I had to say, okay, I don't need to worry about performance right now. I just have to worry about staying fit and maintaining. Because I don't have time to worry. I don't have the time or the schedule to put into the kind of performance level of training. So it happens to everybody, and you kind of shift gears until if I want to compete again, then I can really push back towards that performance realm.
Just think about this, and what a crazy concept that what you just mentioned, that in me trying to add muscle to look better, that's a form of performance. But before I was training for athletic performance type goals and exercises. So I actually training for one, there's different types of performance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
yeah. Well, yeah.
Which is such a funny concept.
It branches off. Definitely. All right. Well, that is any other
there's
thoughts
a couple,
on that?
It's a pretty sort of sounds simple, but there's a lot in it.
Yeah.
And I think what,
yeah, we kind of just scratched the surface. Like, yeah, we can much deeper with them.
There's
but
so much. Maybe we'll revisit it
yeah.
at one point. So for our listeners out there, really consider everything. How healthy are you? For me, I think that's always the most important thing long term. Now, we know people have short term goals, whether you're competing in something or you need to look a certain way for an event. We understand that that comes up and that might sort of supersede your health goals short term. For me, health long term is the most important. So consider that. What are you doing for your health? As far as everything is concerned, if you're going into the performance realm, think about it all inclusive, more cerebrally. Is everything I'm doing in my life working towards a performance, or doing too hard on the performance in maybe just one category, such as generally the athletic side of things, can that actually hurt my health? And then maybe, and in turn, hurt my fitness if I get injured or if something happens.
Yeah.
So just consider everything that you're doing.
Yep, and I guess that brings us to, if you have any questions or if you have a thought, definitely share it with us. And we have an Ask the Trainer question. Cool. So why don't you read the Ask the Trainer?
So it comes from Rich. And Rich says, "Hey guys, great show. On a recent show, you talked about how tempo influences your workout. Can music with a certain tempo have a positive or negative effect on my workouts?"
Cool. All right. I guess we touched on it a little bit. I think it depends on the type of workout. So if it's a workout that's, well, I'd say it's.
I think first off, it depends on
the person. It's subjective. So yeah. If music, for the most part, you want to have whatever motivates you. So whatever motivates you and gets you up and gets you going is going to work for you. So to answer that first part, it really is up to you. I don't think it can, generally, I don't think it can have a harmful effect on you. It's just what your preference is, what style of music you like and what's going to motivate you. And for some people, like, they may like a certain style of music, but it's not good for the gym. And then everyone's different. So I'd say that's part one. We did talk about how beats per minute can influence. So I would say if your workout is reliant on the tempo more as more than just background music, then
like in a cardio heavy or aerobic.
If it's like aerobic class or let's say you're in a step class or a dance class where the tempo is all of it, like you have to follow it, obviously then it makes a difference. Or if you're running and you're lining yourself up, you want to be a little bit aware of the beats per minute, because if you start running in sync with the beats per minute and that's slower or faster than you should be running, that may influence you. So the only time I would say is if the rhythm of the music somehow influences the rhythm of your workout, you may need to be aware of it, because again, if it's a little too fast or a little too slow, that's going to change. That might change how you run or how fast you're moving. And so it just might influence you in that it may make you move a little faster than you need to move or move a little bit slower. So that's the only part where I think music is really, you want to be aware of it. And again, like if it's a class where music is integral, if it's a spinning class or something, but again, everyone's different. So it depends on how it's really about what's going to motivate you. If you're running a class, then you have to think, okay, what's generally going to motivate a group of people? So again, what, you know, if classical music gets you going, probably not going to work for most people in the spinning class, but you kind of do want to consider you. That.
And one interesting thing is not actually about the type of music or the tempo or the BPM, but actually how loud you're listening to it. It's been proven that if you listen to music a loud tempo, it really doesn't even matter what type of music it is, that might give you a little bit of an adrenaline surge or get those endorphins going.
Yeah, I'm forgetting the study, but I think we've
and also over
about
it is also true that over a certain BPM, it almost doesn't even matter the type of music.
Loudness makes a difference. So, if you put on music loud, it'll probably make you work a little bit harder. Just be careful because it's not good on the ears.
Especially if you're using those earbuds. Ooh, so we're gonna have a generation of kids that have trouble hearing. It really worries me.
Yeah.
So
get some Shure. The Shures, they're good because they're in ear and you can. You know, if you're going to have in-ear headphones, they're good because you can play things at a very low volume. But since it drowns everything else out, it's not blasting in your ear, but you're not the other kind of ambient noise isn't like killing you, you know, killing the music or whatever you're trying to listen to. So you actually hear it very well without turning it up to like super
turn
loud.
Turn it to 11. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have a great exercise of the week.
Oh, you do?
It's sort of a Ryan special.
All right.
And it is the jumping lunge. So
Ryan special. What have I done jumping lunges?
I actually never knew about the jumping lunge until Ryan told me.
When did I tell you that?
Years ago. When? I've been doing it quite a bit since. Basically,
did
I'm
you
sure
take
you
a class or something, or
no,
was it?
No, it was just you were teaching me some good exercises that help with.
Okay.
Basically, the idea is. You know, you do your standard lunge. It's especially nice if you have some good weights. The big catch is that you're going to explode up from the lunge. Instead of doing it sort of lazy where you do the lunge and then you sort of get up, you're going to immediately jump back to. Do you normally jump back to your still staying with 1 foot forward, or do you jump back to your 2 feet together?
You could do either one. So I guess I'll take over in the description and hopefully post it. All right, so basically you're a split squat. So let's say in a lunge you'd start standing with the feet together and then you step forward and you bend the knees and you push back into place. With the split squat, you start with the legs staggered. So you start with one leg in front of the other and then you bend both knees, you drop straight down, but one leg is in front of the other. And so that would be like a split squat. You stay in place, you're not moving back and forth. So the split jump would be you drop into the lunge, but you jump, so you explode up. So you can do two different ways. You can jump up and land in the same position. So let's say if my left leg is in front of my right leg and I drop down and I jump and I land, but the left leg stays in front, that would be like a split jump with legs in place. The alternative is you jump and then you switch the legs midair. So you kind of like perform like a scissors movement. And then when you land, you now land with, if your left leg was in front, you jump, you land, your right leg's in front. So a couple different ways to do that.
What does the jump add?
It's more explosive, makes it a little bit harder, more cardio.
It's not a
plyometric,
add
power to
it.
We've talked about it before, like plyometric.
Because you're not using
specific
that energy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a power movement, potentially. It could potentially be done plyometrically if you're trying to. But no, it's a little bit, you know, it's not a total beginner exercise. You want to be, because you're landing with the legs split, it's a little challenging. Balance is an issue with it. So you want to progress up to that exercise.
Okay.
You know, start with doing the split squats. Then you can do like a short little split, like jump, a short hop where you're just getting an inch or two off the ground. Then you can extend that a little bit higher. Then you can work towards doing the full jump. But you know, just the balance is a little issue, especially on the landing. You know, where you would or could get injured is as you land, since the legs are split, and you're especially on the back leg, you're landing on the toes. There's just a potential to turn the ankle, so it's one of those things that you want to be really careful.
Maybe
to progress
it
to doing
initially
it
without weights.
Yeah,
if you haven't done it before.
Well,
or very
why don't
low
you do
weights.
It with weights?
Huh?
Wouldn't do it with weights. Definitely not.
You want to do a lunge with weights?
Well, jumping, no. I mean, you could, but I wouldn't. I typically wouldn't do it.
Okay.
But I mean, you could for whatever the reason. But I tend to. I would stay away from it. It's just, especially if you've never done that before. If you're used to doing it and it's an exercise and you want to add it, great. But otherwise, I would stay away from doing it with weights for now.
Cool.
All right. Well, that's it. As usual, all of our stuff is at thegymwits.com. iTunes.com. Review us if you have done it on iTunes. Please help us out. We need to increase our ranking, and reviews help with that. Whatever their algorithm is on iTunes or on Spotify or wherever you're getting your Jim Wits podcast. So that's it. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, aka Chef Sonic,
and we are the Jim Wits.